No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to another week of the show here, 93.7 TicketFM.com. It is Old School. I am the Orman half of the show. To my left in studio, you're right on stream, the Foreman half of the studio. Let's bring him in, Husker Hall of Famer Jay Foreman. Jay, what a weekend of football, man. What a weekend.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, look, when football's back, it's always the best time of the year. So, I mean, obviously the Huskers represented. My Texans did not.
You and I went 2 for 3, though, on Sunday. That's not bad.
And then, you know, Josh Allen, a.k.a. Cyborg, did what he did.
The first Cyborg, Derrick Henry, was on pace to win me my fantasy matchup before that fumble. So I'm going to end up losing.
Yeah.
Because he coughed up.
Do you get negative points for a turnover?
Mm-hmm.
And and he hardly ever fumbles, too.
I know. And we will talk about that game more. It deserves its full segment. That is coming up at 5 o'clock. Nebraska wins 68-0 over Akron. Let us know, 402-464-5685. Eric says, bleep Jake's Dolphins, go Colts. Eric, absolutely amen to that. Got some really incredible texts from Jake about that game over the weekend. Really interesting presser from Matt Rhule today, though. Jay, I think we can start there. Matt Rhule, one of the things he was asked about was the mentality of the team. What are the next steps for the program? So here's about a 3-minute quote from Matt Rhule talking about, respecting your opponent and the evolution, the growth of his program's mindset here in year three.
Yeah. I want to make sure I say it again. Because I said it earlier. I think that the U and I game, because we were coming off the high of Colorado and then we went to play U and I, we started the disease of looking at the brand that we're playing at instead of making this man versus man, right? When you have the mindset that I talked about, where like when I play you, I respect you, okay? But I have no fear of you. I respect without fear. I play a nameless, faceless opponent, and you choose to line up against me, I'm going to play you till you quit or I quit. That's a mindset that like isn't super popular as much anymore because I can play 52 bad plays, have one good play, and post that and get 1,000 likes and be like, hey, look at me, you know? So it's just trying to build a culture where everyone's like, Instagram stuff is great. The content's great, but what does the actual film say? So I think like that, you know, that was our season last year. That's year two for me sometimes. It's like, hey, we played Ohio State like this. Then we come back the next week and we kind of play like this. And then we play like this. And then, you know, well, what's the atmosphere like? How's the music? None of that matters. You know, it's just football. And so I thought we were focused the whole game. I did not like the last drive. And as much as anything, it wasn't, it's just for them understanding, like, you're not playing to score more points than the other team. There's a standard that we want to play at. And if the other team with 46 seconds left is dropping back and throwing the ball, they don't respect you. They don't respect your pass rush. They should take a knee and go into the half and try to regroup, but that's not what they did. And so you should take that personally. When they take the ball and they defer to start the game, when they win the toss and defer, that means they think it's going to be a game in the second half, which I think is the right way to play, by the way. But like, these are things as a player, like if you have to have an edge to yourself. And so if the edge only comes from like, well, we're playing a ranked team, then that's the disease of average.
We'll stop it there. It goes on for another minute and a half. Jay, I think there's a lot of good stuff in that first about 100 seconds from Matt Rhule.
Yeah, I mean, that's there's a lot there, boy. We could do 3 hours on that, man. It's all the stuff that, you know, we sometimes talk about. You know, you can, you know, how you score 68 points to zero. There is a big difference when you're in the meeting rooms or, you know, the facility over there. Because, you know, I always feel like, you know, you remember when people used to always say, you can't be explosive being a running team. Well, then I'd be like, well, Wisconsin was explosive when they were really running the ball. Minnesota's been plenty, you know, there's team. I mean, Penn State, Ohio State, everybody's been explosive that way. And then, but
this place picked up some hardware being explosive running the ball.
Exactly. And, or being physical or practicing or whatever the excuses were, because everybody fell in. What he's talking about is that, like, the Oregon type of thing, the uniforms, the swag, the perception. You know, I always talk about if you go through an airport, you see a lot of people with Oregon stuff. They never won a national championship. They haven't won anything, but they won the brand. And that's what he's saying. He wants a faceless opponent. He wants a standard that you play no matter what. And then, to be honest with you, you know, back probably when I played, I remember talking to one of our coaches. They really liked the coach from Pacific. So they kind of felt and tried different ways not to blow them out too much. Because they this is a program, you want to do them a solid.
Mm-hmm.
Now with the way you have the four game rule for red shirts, you have kids that are constantly always, you know, maybe getting approached or thinking about the portal, you know, family members thinking about the portal. As soon as you don't, you know, get 20 targets or whatever it is, you got to play this game competitive all the way to the end. And like he said, if you can't find the littlest thing to get you motivated or maybe just that much more turned up, well, then it can't be circumstantial. Every game you should be on edge. Every game you should play to a blind standard. And I call it the walk-by test. I talk about it all the time in basketball. Mm-hmm. You could just do it, the flip the channel test. It's a Nebraska team. This is what it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if Dylan's the quarterback or Watson, Trent's the middle linebacker, Van Poppel or whoever. Mm-hmm. They need to see, okay, these are the four or five things that they usually play like, and those are all the things he mentioned.
Matt Rhule talked about that a little bit more throughout his press conference, you know, being pretty pissed off at halftime because Akron had 46 seconds to work with, drove it down the field on Nebraska, and had a chance to get on the board. Of course, they missed the warm-up field goal, doinked that one at the end of the first half off the upright. And then Riley Van Poppel just overpowers the guy in front of him, gets a paw on the next field goal attempt and ends up blocking it. But Jay, it's one of those things that I think many people from the outside wouldn't necessarily view as disrespectful. Of course, they have 46 seconds left. Let's run a play. If we get something great, we're off and running. If we don't, so be it. I think most people would say, you know, with those 46 seconds, you got to run one. You know, at the very least, get the play clock under 40, and then if it doesn't work, you kneel it down and run it out there. But I do like Matt Rhule's approach, where it's one thing for people on the outside to say, okay, yeah, this is the situation, this is all they're going to do, so be it, no big deal. But as a player, to find that next level, to take it personal as they think they can get this over on you.
Yeah.
That's a mental edge that doesn't seem like Nebraska's had for years.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to get the players to have that edge. I mean, it's great the coach has it. You want the players to have it. And what he's really saying is, two things. I'm not going to speak for him, so I guess I'll dial that back. But what I hear is, okay, maybe we could have done a better job of bleeding the clock with us, right? I mean, I'm just thinking about it. And he might be thinking of two or three series prior, whatever it may be. But more importantly, he's saying, we haven't made you bend the knee yet. You think you still have a chance. So then therefore we hadn't played the way we should up until this point. That's why you should be mad. And that's the standard he is saying. He wants you to be so broke off that you just like, let's go to halftime and figure something out. It came off like, okay, we took it like, okay, Akron was saying, this is more on us. Let's just get a little something going on. We get the ball. Let's get a little 2-for-1. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I get where you're saying, you know, coming with that. And, you know, you got to be able to put, you know, push buttons. You got another kind of, you know, Houston Christians, you know, I mean, those two, Akron and Houston Christian, they probably might go to, you know, 5 overtimes. You know what I'm saying? Who's gonna you know, win the game 3-0? So it's the same thing. Same, you know, same soup, just reheated. You gotta handle your business accordingly, and you know, bigger and better. You know, come Saturday at 11.
I did like him also calling the mindset of the kind of front runner-ing the disease of average.
Well, that's what,
you know, I've played on teams like that, and we'll get to the Nebraska aspect, because it's easy to say, oh yeah, we're so much better in this team when you look at the brand, right? I can think back to all sorts of times in high school where, I mean, we're all human. We all fall into the trap sometimes, but the teams I played on would say, oh yeah, it's this team, should be an easy day. We should win this one. Then kind of back off, get tentative when you see a little number next to someone else's name. Sometimes you raise your standard of play. Sometimes you back away and you're a little bit timid. And, you know, most of the teams I played on were indeed just average, a little bit better. You know, we could hold our own, but when it came to those big moments, wouldn't come through very often, you know, and it was team sports. So sure, there's things I could look back on and regret, too late for that now. But when it comes to Nebraska specifically, that's where this team has been essentially for 3 years. Average, 5-7, 6-6, and now a prove it year 3 in a lot of ways as a program. I like what Matt Rhule is saying that they need to build to, is that Nebraska is too proud to be a front runner program. The easy thing to do is be that front runner and fall into disease of average. Nebraska deserves and Nebraska needs to avoid that trap because it has been better and because it can be better.
Yeah, but you know, Austin, this has been a problem for longer than the last 3 years.
True.
The fan base is like that. This is because they've dummied down the expectations and standard based on what got you the mentality of thinking that you can brand beat somebody. It's the weirdest type of mindset. I'm telling you, it's like almost getting in there. You know, you ever seen that? What is that? That Tetris or the one that used to go back and forth without losing anything. I would say like they're playing some of the people's mindsets. They're like, they're playing tennis and you don't lose a point. You serve it, you go over a volley, you spike it back, and you're just going back and forth, and nobody's doing anything on the positive, but you're just acting like you're doing it. And the reason why I'm saying this is because, and what he's saying, and I've said it before, like you got this new fan base is like, oh, it's not the 90s. Nobody cares about the 90s anymore because the 90s have already done it. But if you're not taking what the 90s did and using it, we're talking about the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Nobody, Tommy Frazier isn't playing. I can't play anymore. Nobody that I know that played on those teams there's a couple, but nobody that I know that have been playing, that have played on those teams and played, I'm talking about played for real, ever, like, that's not their identity. It's mm-hmm. like what we did. But when you, I think, oh, strategically over time, and I'm going to say strategically over time, and this is regimes in the past, whether it's like presidents, athletic director, coaches, whoever, whatever it has been, when you start to get away with that, but then you want the benefits of it, that's where I say you're playing and you're not losing a point. That's what he's saying. That's how you get that front runner mentality.
At some point, you actually have to hit the triple yourself.
Yeah, but the front runner mentality is you get excited to play. Well, in my case, like Pacific. Okay, I'm jacked up to play this game. But or you hear the story of guys that are practice All-Americans and you turn the lights on and they're three or four steps slower. You're not even doing the things that we've seen Monday through Friday or Saturday or whatever it is. Saturday in the case of the NFL. And then you get out there and playing and it's like you're a totally different person because there's no pressure. You don't run away from pressure. You run to it. The only way you apply pressure is essentially turn it up during the week or whenever you are. That's mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. The front.
He even said that today. Pressure's not going anywhere. It's always going to be there.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, I don't understand. I do not understand this whole, like, and this has nothing to do with the like the team now, but just in general, like this whole defeatist mentality of like, it's so hard. It is not hard. It's as hard as you make it. You can't play football without it being hard.
It's not hard. It's just what it is.
I know we had a texter who said, you know, catching a game in 90 degree heat or whatever. I'm talking about the whole year. There's not a harder sport out there because you have to train 8 months out of the year to play 12 times. And it's not easy because you're running in, like in my case, you're going to run into somebody that's 100 pounds heavier and quite frankly, stronger. I'm going to have to cover somebody that's faster. I got to, you know, cover a tight end or a running back, let alone, you know, try to walk and chew gum, you know, try to be physically able to do that. And it's more of a mental thing. So it is hard. And, you know, when you want to, when you seek out easy, you fail when it comes hard. Now, you might get lucky over here.
But understand when you get lucky and when you are.
But you won't be consistent. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's searching for. Consistency year in and year out. That's what he's talking about right now. Because if you have a standard, if you understand that you play the same no matter who you're playing against, and yes, you play against, you know, in a couple of weeks we're playing against a Michigan, we get into conference play, there is going to be more resistance. But your same fundamentals and technique and pad level and all is not going to be any different. Akron, Houston Christian, Cincinnati, Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa, Oregon, it can't be any different. So what are you going to do? All of a sudden, like, you know, I think sometimes people have this mentality. It's like, okay, I'm turning on. I'm I'm going to be physical this week. Ready, break. I'm serious.
Yeah, no.
And you see it with these high school kids. Like, they'll, you know, where and there is different factors, and their emotions are obviously not at the, you know, be able to be in check. But, you know, he's saying, like, look, you're here at a blue blood university, period. That's not going to ever go away, mm-hmm. you know, because on the flip side, if you want it to go away, well, then there's only going to be 40,000 people in there, and you don't want that.
No.
And that will probably never happen. So the pressure is already there before you even get here. Mm-hmm. Now, do you accept the pressure? Now, you can't accept the money, okay, without the pressure. Mm-hmm. There's no – I mean, I don't even know anybody out here that gets paid to run a business. He's like, you know what? Well, besides Kawhi Leonard, I would say don't go to work, you know. You know what? Don't get any results. We'll just pay you whatever. Just imagine if you took over the Bank of
America.
The Bank of America. It's like, yeah, we got a new CEO or CFO, whatever the name is. You know, they got all these funny names, a new president or whatever. Yeah, man, don't worry about hitting any marks. We just, thanks for being here.
Yeah. Thanks for your time. Yeah. We appreciate it.
Here's about $40 million too. Yeah, thanks. So, I mean, it's.
You know what I'd say?
I would do it. You know, I would do it, I guess. You know, I guess I could do this for you. You know, but, you know, I think that's what he's trying to get at. He's like, these guys, you know, they got to go play, and you got to play every day. You got to train every day. You can't get, you know, punch drunk off of, you know, being 2-0 and, you know, them 68 points is done now. Now you got to try to score 78 or whatever it is.
You brought up blue blood, and I think that's, you know, always an interesting conversation to have. We're not going to have it, but I think that, you know, Nebraska players, given the amount of resources that get poured into that program, will always live like college football royalty, you know, almost regardless of what the results are on the field. But at some point, you got to work, you know, like red blood, get that blood pumping, you know, do something, you know, maybe live like a king, work like a peasant, something like that.
I mean, but it's not circumstantial. Like when I hear that come out of your mouth, I was like, I can't even understand. It would never even cross my mind to think like that.
And that goes to, I think, what Money G in Kansas wants to know. Can a coach teach toughness, or is a lot of it just in a player's DNA?
It's a little bit of both.
But I think I'm going to put words in your mouth here because I think I know where this is going. It's mostly on the players. You pretty much are who you are before you get to college, and you can make some incremental gains and shifts, but you're not going to change your whole personality when you get to college.
You can bring it out of people. You can bring it wholly out of people. Circumstances will bring it out, and they might reluctantly do it, but they will do it.
But it was already in them.
It was there, but you can drag it out of them, mm-hmm. and they will reluctantly do it, but then they will do it. So mm-hmm. then they become it. Now, I just need you to be that on Saturday,
the regular.
On the regular, 12 Saturdays out of the year. If I can get you 12 Saturdays out of the year, I already know I got that at some point in time during the week. Mm-hmm. So whether you want to work from the end result to back or the front result to the end, we can get there. I think everybody that they, you know, when you think of like Tommy Frazier as a freshman, Grant Wisham as a freshman, Amir Abdullah as a freshman versus Rex Burkhead, all those guys versus when they're a senior, everybody goes through the process. It is a lot of player led. It's holding each other accountable, but then it's also, you got to be able to be in a position where you're challenging each other, and it's got to be a competitive environment. And it is different, you know, you got to, you know, potentially coach kids different. And you got to find a way to, you know, go about it a different way. But at the base of it, it will never change because the human mind hasn't changed. Nobody's, you know what I'm saying? It's not a new like program for robots. You just got to find a different way to get there. And just like, you can think of, like, I can make a football practice hard. You know, we can run gassers all day. Okay, that's
or after the game, like Fran Brown.
Yeah, Fran Brown, right? But that's, you could do a whole bunch of stuff like that. So that's already like a guarantee. It's going to be hard. What you need is that extra layer. So you want guys to feel more accountable to their teammates than to the coaches, because how a teammate views you, or you would think. Should be worse, because if you're like winning there, then whatever the coach has to talk to you, then it's really not that, I would say not that important. It's not as bad. You need to have good peer pressure.
Coaches yell at players. Players right. Don't always yell at players.
Yeah. And it's not even about yelling. It's all of it. You, as a leaders on the team, you got to know what guy you need to ride, what guy you need to push, or what guy you need to kind of be there and kind of keep them, you know, in the guardrails. You know, there's probably about 0.5% of athletes that are driven beyond measures. And those are the guys that have the single names: LeBron, Jordan, Kobe, you know, Brady, Manning, Moss, all those dudes. Okay. Those guys are driven, right? Those in some of them, Brady was driven by always being looked over or just whatever it is, right? Majority of athletes, you got to push them. You have to push more than others. Some you have to push like moving heaven and earth. That's why that's where the phrase juice versus squeeze, or squeeze, you know, juice versus squeeze, because at some point in time, it does have to be some sort of relationship. That's why, you know, relationships are so important. Mm-hmm. How you coach guys and all this other stuff. I was just talking about Reggie Herring, who was a great influence and coach for me. I can't even remember in the first 3 years I played for him that he ever kind of like went overboard with like you playing. Now, mind you, within one of those 3 years, I led the league in tackles. I know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. And I think the prior year, I was a first alternate for the Pro Bowl via special teams and then played defense as well. Mm-hmm. Not as good as I did that year. But what I'm saying is that the relationship I had with him was much stronger than the pats on the back. But here's also where the relationship is most like really important. Bobby Greer is a good friend, a good family friend. Obviously, you know, his son is the GM for the Dolphins, but Bobby Greer was a longtime scout and GM down in Houston. So after I left, I, you know, went and, you know, got something to eat. And he told me like specifically about when I was kind of up for, got my first contract and then I had to get it redone, how much Reggie went to bat on a personal level outside of the play. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's why relationships and with the players is so important, because the message that he was delivering, I mean, some of the stuff he used to say to me, like, hey.
He came up to you on the street and said that.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a good reaction, but I knew it was, first of all, you got to be willing to accept it. And then also, you know, I never really gave it back. I mean, I would push back, but he knew when to come like 1,000% like a torpedo. He knew other ways to like maybe build it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was talking about that game. I think when it was it Tom Jackson and Chris Berman were doing NFL primetime or whatever. And, you know, I'd been on a heater. I mean, I think I went like 5-6 games in a row with like 18 plus. And then, you know, we played at that time the Redskins. Or it was New England, and me and Jamie we got busy a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And, it was one play I messed up on, and I kind of slipped a little bit, you know, and it was the turf or the grass or the, you know, was, I just kind of like was trying to go back and slip. Dude jumped on me. And I remember it was play 58. And
at least it wasn't 56.
I know, right. That would have been worse. So the grade sheets were like an Excel worksheet, and then mm-hmm. it'd be a little notes. Well, he circled this bad boy. And so everybody sees the grade sheet. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, play 58. Rewind. Forward. Rewind. Forward. Right? It wasn't just in the moment. He knew the next week, Austin, mm-hmm. we were playing Pittsburgh.
Ah.
Right? Mm. So that's Monday. Wednesdays, he went into his whole thing about Pittsburgh, Jerome Bettis, their fullback, the history of Pittsburgh, Alan Faneca, this, and this, blah, blah, blah. He already knew he had me on point for Monday, right? So, mm-hmm. But it's the relationship, though. Mm-hmm. And then he just sat back, and then, you know, we're still friends to this day. And so I think that's where, you know, Matt Rhule is trying to do a good job of getting guys to coach him, mm-hmm. hold him accountable, handing it off to players, mm-hmm. and say, this is what it is. You got to go do it, man. I'm here mm-hmm. to assist you. I want to see you go do it.
Bill and Bennett says it was Akron put 40 up on Michigan, and I'll be greatly impressed. But I think that goes to exactly what we're saying, Bill, is that Nebraska is not going to put up 40 on Michigan without playing to, you know, the man-to-man standard instead of to the brand, right? Like Jay said, you're not just going to wake up and say, okay, yep, time to go score 40 on Michigan and do it. You know, scoring 68 points against Akron isn't everything, but it at least gives Nebraska a chance against Michigan. If they're able to take that standard that Matt Rhule feels like they played with and carry that over to Michigan, they've proven they can do it against one caliber of competition. How does it look against another caliber?
Yeah, we'll see in a couple weeks. Michigan's coming here with my man, Biff.
Biff Pogi.
Pogi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's back.
By the way, he had that Catholic school in Baltimore making people tap out. You heard
oh,
about
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you going to wear any sleeves down here?
Oh, no. We'll go to break. When we get back, recruiting update from the first weekend at home from Brian Munson of Husker Online, diving into the weekend in college football in the Big Ten and the NFL after that here on Old School.
back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Here we are on Old School. Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you. But right now we are headed to our Allo Fiber VIP line where we're joined by Brian Munson of Husker Online. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of what we're going to get into here with Brian, holy cow, B. Munson, did you sleep at all last night after those final 5 minutes of that football game? What did your Bills do?
Well, I tell you what, I was ready to go to bed about, about 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I can't remember what exactly happened. I think that I was a little bit upset with offensive coordinator Brady's conservative play calling, particularly Cook just running to the middle of the offensive line and just getting stuffed. And I had just seen enough of it. I turned around. I think I just kind of smacked the couch cushion. My wife said, I'm going to bed. And I go, I think I'm right behind you. I can't believe this. You know, they're not even trying. And then I said, I just had this morbid curiosity and decided to stay up. And I actually woke her back up again with about 48 seconds left in the game. And I said, hey, honey, I said, they're going to win. And she was just could not believe it and was happy I got her up. And after that, it was eyes wide open like I had drank a pot of coffee, I think, till about 2:30. And then obviously 6 o'clock comes pretty bright and early at that point. So yeah, it's been a long Monday. I'm excited on so many different levels about what happened yesterday. I think the first though is that I think I really is kind of sunk in that I'm going to be up there in Buffalo in a month to go to the same kind of Sunday night game against the Patriots.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm really, really excited about getting a chance to say farewell, you know, to the old stadium, seeing the new stadium and looking around and testing everything around town. So that's number one. But number two, I think that people are catching on a little bit to like just the wholesomeness of this team and maybe even more of Josh Allen. I think that there was a great interview on NFL Network, which obviously was previewed a little bit on Hard Knocks. And I think it just says so much about him as a person. And I think a lot of people just kind of relate to him, the Wyoming, you know, Wyoming guy that's originally from California and just has these amazing kind of perspective. And I think everybody just kind of appreciates that. So I thought it was amazing. Despite the fact that both teams put up 40 points and one team won and one team lost, I think the other both teams are going to go back today and go, we got to work on a lot of stuff, including defense. And both teams have got to start locking that down a little bit better.
Flip side of that was Nebraska football and Akron. Very one-sided game, 68-0 in favor yep. of the Huskers. Big recruiting weekend, Brian, you wrote about the list of players that were in town. Generally speaking, what was the vibe from the guys that you had a chance to talk to that witnessed Nebraska's 68-0 win over the Zips?
Yeah, it was really good. I think out of the 14 players that we confirmed, I think I caught up with 11, maybe 12, now that I think about it. So actually, I was just typing up Trey Taylor when you called me. So I'd say the overall the vibe was incredibly positive. I mean, how else can you go out there and impress somebody with, you know, 700 yards of total offense, scoring 68 points, and oh yeah, pitching a shutout? I mean, you're getting all sides at that point. And I think that obviously special teams played their part, offense, defense did their part, the environment, the fans did their part, that atmosphere on Saturday night, it got so many people just to mention it about, you know, how loud it was. And this was coming from, you know, veterans. So I would say veterans like Matt Erickson and even like a Trey Taylor who have been to several games at Nebraska. But I think Saturday night was just one of those super loud environments that everybody is just, you know, just loved. And I think the part here though that needs to be mentioned is just the extra juice that Nebraska is getting on these weekend visits in the fall for the 27 and the 2028 guys. It's huge. And I made mention of this earlier in the week. Last week, it was either in Three and Out or Tunnel Talk. It's kind of all bleeds together now. Where, you know, years past, you would just, as a recruit, walk into a specific gate, talk to a person, get your tickets, and go to your seat. And you were there basically just to see a game, and then you kind of up and left, and maybe you checked out early at halftime or whatever. These are very different events. They are bringing the player, bringing the recruits in. They're talking to coaches. They're seeing facilities. They're doing tours, and there's no loss. You know, basically, there's no missed opportunity is what I'm trying to say when those recruits are in town. Because, heck, I mean, you had three guys in from Georgia. You know, one guy in from Pennsylvania. You had guys coming in from all over the country. Guy from Florida. They're not going to let those guys travel hundreds of miles and make sure that they didn't see everything that they needed to see to come back again for another visit. And I felt like that was like the other part that was really present in all my conversations with everybody, is that they've all seen enough now to want to come back. Even guys like Simeon, who's been up there now, this is his third time taking a visit to Nebraska. He's talking about now that he knows he'll be back for a fourth trip. So this is exactly what Nebraska wants. They want to bring players in early. They want to bring players back often, to where you're not just taking, you know, a junior day trip in January or February, coming in the spring, and then set up an official visit. By the time they get to their official visit, that player should have been on campus 5+ times, ideally. And I think with a lot of guys, they will actually hit that mark.
When you talk about the missed opportunities maybe in years past and how this has changed, why were there missed opportunities? Was that an attitude thing from either, you know, previous administrations? Was it a staffing size deal that this current staff rectified just to get more bodies in there? Why was Nebraska missing those opportunities, and what led to the shift?
I don't think it's just Nebraska. I think that the thought was that on Saturday, that was just to come in and see a game and see how the team on the field kind of operates and soak up the atmosphere. And a lot of times, I mean, like I said, you'd have a guy come in for one visit, and yeah, it was great, you know, but man, I've been to these other schools and they're closer to me, and now you're telling me to come out there and pay my way again and come out for a junior day so I can see behind the closed doors. Well, I was already there 3 months ago. I could have seen behind closed doors then. I think it's more about, just like I said, the missed opportunities that have happened before. And just, I think that the understanding kind of was that you just don't do that kind of recruiting, like for unofficial visitors before in the past. And, you know, I think a lot of that's changed. I think a lot of that's changed now to where, you know, everything has been slid left, you know, all the timelines have been sped up. 2026 class is essentially done. You didn't have a 2026 uncommitted prospect on campus this weekend. So far, to my knowledge, you won't have one next weekend. I'll be very surprised that you'll have one until, you know, probably till Michigan. So that being said, it's like everything now is about younger guys. I think with younger guys, the thought was just come in and see a game and see what we're all about. Now it's really like, let's show you how some of the sausage is made. And let's show you how things are kind of happening behind closed doors, and let's get you another view. And oh yeah, you got some questions. Well, Matt Rhule's got answers, and your position coach is going to make sure that you leave here without having any questions. And we're going to have a conversation about you coming back again. I think it has something to do with span of control. I think it has something to do with limiting the amount of recruits you're having in Lincoln at a single time. Because you don't have those cattle car kind of calls, you know, where you got 50, 60, 70 kids coming in. You know, there was 14. There was 14 of them this weekend, and four of them were commits. So you really had 10 uncommitted prospects in Lincoln. And I think that makes it much more easy to manage when it comes to kind of getting everybody their information that they need.
We're talking with Brian Munson of Husker Online here in our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Of those 10 uncommitted prospects that were in town, Brian, who do you think Nebraska spent the most time with and maybe made the biggest impact on?
Yeah, I think it's tough not to say Albert Simeon. I think he's, despite the fact that he's been there, you know, this being his third time, being there a couple times before, I think that Nebraska has really made a strong impression on him. I think that he digs the fact that he knows Trey Taylor so well. I think he saw an offensive line performance on Saturday that he could really kind of get behind and sees himself essentially playing for that type of, in that type of offense. He's got a connection to Coach Raiola. I think, like I said, I think Simeon is kind of tough to beat. I'd say all of them, the ones that I had spoken with were all impressed. And, you know, I think you're going to find that this kind of approach for Nebraska is going to pay some dividends. I think the part that really kind of strikes me still is how many of these guys either came in for like Battle of the Boneyard or the huddle recruiting orientation earlier in June. That those two events, I think, will go down as kind of those things you want to circle in the historical timeline for a lot of these recruits, because they kind of got the ball rolling with those two types of events in Lincoln. So you certainly hope Nebraska is going to find a way to continue with Adidas and huddle to work on putting together a couple of those similar programs in years to come, because I think it's really going to pay off for them in recruiting.
A name that was on the list that I don't recall you or I having talked about or been on many Husker fans' radar, Jacob Thomas, 27, wide receiver, 4-star, currently a Pitt commit. You flash up there on the grid view, 10.38, 100 guy. I'm going to guess Nebraska likes his speed.
Likes his speed, sees him doing several things in their offense. I think for him, you know, it's just he committed early. He's going to come back to Nebraska again later on in the fall, you know, or later on, I guess in the future. He saw everything that, you know, he needed to see to kind of get back. So he's still evaluating things. I think this is like one of those really misleading kind of commitments. I probably saw at the moment, you know, what he needed to see to kind of check all the boxes, and then kind of slowly getting out more and seeing things. I mean, I thought what was kind of telling with him was that, you know, other than Nebraska, he's only got one other visit set up at the moment, and that's to go to Pitt, where he's committed. So I thought that was pretty telling. I think Nebraska is doing an excellent job recruiting him. I really felt like they had kind of – they're tag-teaming him with a couple of different staff members, and I think it's definitely paying off.
The other wide receiver I believe that was in town then is – it was Matthew Gregory, 27 guy as well, out of Pennsylvania, like you mentioned. Another sub 10.5 guy. What's it looking like for Nebraska with that 4-star out of Pennsylvania?
Did not get a hold of him from Pottstown. So did catch up with a couple guys like about him. Mm-hmm. I think it's always difficult, you know, when you got a guy growing up around Pennsylvania and Penn State's in the picture. I mean, arguably the top team in the country. So going to be a tough pull. Obviously, he's in the Big Ten footprint. I think, you know, when you start taking a look at, you know, Jacob Thomas and being a Florida guy and Slobraska being a very real thing, and you can put him obviously in touch with, you know, Ja'Cory Barney and Cortez Mills and let them kind of teach him and show him the big picture about like what they're able to do early on in their careers. I think that goes pretty far, because I just feel like the Floridian kids, you know, they feel connected where there's other kids, particularly thousands of miles away from home, but, you know, they feel connected where there's other kids that, you know, are from the same part of the world as them. So I just never caught up with Matthew, but other people told me he had a great time as well.
There you have it. That's a recruiting update from Brian Munson of Husker Online with us here during Old School. Brian, Monday Night Football, I know it's on the docket tonight, but you don't have to watch it. It's going to be okay if you need to tap out of that one early.
Well, I thought my tight end was going to have to be in play and kind of clinch my victory for me for fantasy football. So I'd like to get TJ the night off, but I'd like to go ahead and score the most points in the league this weekend to kind of kick things off. I'll be around. I'll check it out. It's going to be a interesting NFC North matchup.
Well, I was on pace to win my matchup until Derrick Henry fumbled. So you're welcome for that one.
That's not Bosa's fault, at Oliver's fault, but so you'll have to forgive me. That did help me out quite a bit last night, and But ultimately, man, it's still a lot of season to play. Either team can lose right there and still be very much in the picture for the Super Bowl.
Here's the thing. I have to be okay with the fumble because I share a studio with former Buffalo Bill Jay Foreman, and I'd rather see my friends happy than my fantasy team win. So you know what, Brian? I'll give you this one.
That's right, man. You tell Jay hello and hey. Let's go Buffalo, baby.
There we go. Certainly will. We won't talk to you next week. We'll talk to you here in a couple then, Brian. Thanks a ton.
Sounds good. Later.
Brian joined us on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Aloe Fiber is where they understand the importance of exceptional service with local heart. Also, the TV internet provider of your Nebraska Cornhuskers. We'll wrap up Hour 1 of Old School, giving away $50 to Grotta Bar and Lounge after this.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Well, we're back wrapping up Hour 1 of Old School. Big thanks to Brian Munson of Buster Online for his time. We will talk more about the Buffalo Bills comeback against the Ravens coming up in Hour 2 of the show. Plenty of college football to get to moving forward, though. You have $50 to give away to Grotta Bar and Lounge. Everyone's favorite question is, what's for dinner? The easy answer is Grotta Bar and Lounge, located in the Clock Tower Shopping Center at 70th and A. Grotta features a menu full of delicious options of all sorts of unique items, your traditional items as well. They also have daily specials and incredible drink options. Visit Grotta Bar and Lounge today at 70th and A. All right. For $50, all you have to answer, how many tackles did Nebraska's leading tackler have against Akron? 402-464-5685. How many tackles did Nebraska's leading tackler have in the 68-0 dismantling of the Zips? Jay, you mentioned that game against Pacific a little bit. What are some other memorable blowouts for you in your time in Nebraska? The games you're chilling to the hot dog on the sideline.
We blew out Arizona State. Then they came back and beat us the next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, we blew out Tennessee, who blew out Florida. I mean, 95, we blew everybody out the water. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those are memorable. I mean, I think, it's just part of what we did. And you know, I think that, you know, this is probably where Georgia and like Alabama probably looked a little similar, where, you know, I was talking to Coach Samuel, who coached me, you know, and coached, you know, a ton of players that are, you know, obviously more high profile and better than me, but he coached me specifically the year in 95, actually. And he, one of the things he said, it was kind of funny. And in Coach Sam, if you know, we'll get to have him on. He's a smooth operator. He's like, hey, Chief. He never really got mad. He's like, hey, Chief, you know, you need to do that. Real smooth. He's like, people don't realize, Chief, you know, he calls everybody. He's like, we used to break people. And when everybody says it now, like breaking people, but when you break someone or break a team, you break them for like 5+ years. I'm just dead serious.
Not just for the next week.
No, you break them. And you see some teams in the NFL that do it, or you see players that do it. I'm going to tell you a story here about Michael Vick. If you go back and Google, he had that run against the Minnesota Vikings. Was it the Minnesota Vikings or the Rams? It was one of them. And there was a linebacker from Florida State, and he was a big yapper. And I remember he had played with Carolina, and I knew Mike Rucker, you know, obviously. And so we would talk, and I'd ask him about this, you know, because we played Carolina, and then he was on the sideline talking junk to us on deep. And I was like, dude, you're on special team. Like,
you're over there. Yeah, we're here.
What are you doing? Right? You must have, like, you know, he was talking junk, and maybe he didn't think I was that good. But I asked him about it. Or his name was Brian Allen. That's his name, Brian Allen, Florida State. He's the guy when he played for the Rams. He left his playbook somewhere that the other team got it. Yeah, that dude. Well, in the locker room at the Panthers, they were like, yeah, he hadn't been the same since Michael Vick essentially diced him up. But it broke him. It can't happen. You can break teams. You can break programs. It's no different than when there's an old story about Tiger Woods and Ernie Els. And they were playing over, I think, in Dubai or something, you know, in the off season. And Ernie had a really good round. And, you know, on the last hole, I think it was in Dubai, and Tiger was talking to Steve Williams, is one that told the story. And Tiger needed a birdie. And before he hit the shot onto the green to eventually win the tournament, Tiger Woods told his caddy, he's like, I beat him now. He'll never will be able to beat me. Effectively broke him. Yeah. Mm. So, but you know, that's, you know, part of the deal, man. It happens. You don't apologize for it.
You do not.
Akron is broken. Inevitably.
Sorry, Joe Moorhead. Yeah. But not really. The answer, Cade Petchock led Nebraska with 4 tackles, by the way. One-eyed Ray, you are the winner. $50
4.
To crowd
I thought everybody had 3.
He got credited with the 4th one in the postgame.
Freshman.
So he did score the safety as well. So I guess we'll give it. So 4 tackles for Cade Petchock. One-eyed Ray, you are the winner for $50 to Grotta Bar and Lounge. We'll be back to talk more college football across the Big Ten and the national landscape in hour 2 of the show.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.